So I'd love to hear the backstory on a few songs, and maybe best to start with "Just Leave Me Alone." No.
Well, I don't know. I think I was just kind of feeling sassy. Okay. I was actually on a plane. I was going to visit some cousins of mine in San Francisco. I was sitting next to a really nice guy who I didn't feel that way about, like, "Just Leave Me Alone," but. Yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of feeling in a sassy mood, and
okay.
I just started writing, trying to occupy myself while I waited on the runway for the plane to take off, and that's what came out.
And how about the song "Stronger" itself?
And that kind of reaches back to, you know, the whole, all of the events a few years ago. It's been 5 and 6 years since my parents passed away.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the kind of thing that, the fallout from that. I have siblings who are younger, who are still in high school, so, you know, I had to kind of become more of an adult. And it was just kind of something that was on my mind a lot. I probably won't dwell on that for future recordings and writing. But, you know, at the time, that's really what my focus was when I wrote "Stronger." You know, it's based on the old adage that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And when your parents pass away, they were pretty young. They were both in their 50s.
Oh.
My mother was in her early 50s, 51. Mm. So it's definitely, you know, it's hard. It's something that it's so strong you have to bend because that it won't change or go away, you know.
Sure.
You can't get that person back, so you're the one that has to just kind of give, and it changes you in a way, you know, that other life events don't necessarily. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what about "Sad Portrait"?
Oh boy, that's kind of a crazy story. So I teach music lessons out of my home and out of a studio in Grand Haven, and I have for years. One night I was coming back from work, and it was a really dark night. There wasn't any starlight or anything, so when I entered the highway, I kind of got on really slow because I was afraid of hitting a deer. So I got about a mile down the road, and there was obviously some kind of an accident. And I thought somebody else wasn't, you know, they weren't thinking the way I was, and
yeah.
Ended up running over a deer. And it turns out it wasn't a deer. It was a really horrible accident.
Oh, geez.
that's, you know, I've seen, you know, people die before, or not in front of me, but, you know, obviously. But I had never really seen anything like that, and it made quite an impression on me. So I didn't know this person, but I think I have a great capacity for empathy,
right.
And it was really kind of tough to get. It
right.
kind of stuck with me for
sure.
A couple of weeks, to be honest. So,
sure. Well, I can certainly imagine.
I wrote that song, and I wrote it down in a notebook, and I really honestly didn't even look at it for at least a year.
Okay.
But I was kind of going back through my notebooks, as I am wont to do from time to time,
mm-hmm.
and discovered that this... I had wrote this down. It was pretty fairly intact. So I remember working on it, and my husband came home, and he was like, "What's that? That sounds really good." So I thought, you know, this is, and it's to this day one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
It's probably my favorite from that album. So.
And what about "Promised Land"?
I wrote that after my dad passed away. He's the, I think the line is, what are the words to my song? The man did live and the man did die. And I'm talking about my dad in that first verse. And,
okay.
You know, he courted the promised land.
Sure.
So he basically was a very committed pastor and counselor.
Mm-hmm.
He was a really great guy. You know, he was really loved by a lot of people, including people who didn't necessarily agree with his philosophy.
Okay.
But, you know, so it's just sort of me working out. Working that out again.
Okay. Now, you've done a lot of shows outside of the West Michigan area. What are some of your favorite venues, and what do you like about them?
Ooh, favorite venues outside of West Michigan?
Yeah, I know you've done a lot of shows in New York and other
right,
places.
Right, yeah. So this is perfect because it kind of leads up to some of the exciting projects that are coming up.
Right.
There's a venue. It's pretty small. It's a jazz kind of a venue, although they host a number of, you know, genre styles.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Williamsburg Music Center. It's in New York, and I've played the Better End. I've played Kenny's Castaways, all
right.
these famous clubs right
mm-hmm.
down in the Greenwich Village, that area. And they're all really great. But I really like this club. It's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is a really trendy kind of hipster neighborhood. And I like it because it's got tons of character inside. It really has that feel of a jazz club.
Okay.
The owner is an old jazz cat. He's a great, really great musician. He plays a number of instruments, including the upright bass, which is one of my favorite instruments, and played with a lot of jazz greats when he was a young man. You know, these people were older and kind of on their way out of the scene in popularity, but he played with them back in those days. And so he's really great. He's actually, I've played there a few times. It's kind of, at this point, anytime I know I'm going to be in New York, I can usually get a show there as well as wherever else I'm playing. So I've kind of befriended him, and he plays with me. And actually, Robica Garner and I, we're working on a tour. We're going to be leaving at the end of March, and we're starting in Chicago. We're going to play at the Uncommon Ground, which a lot of West Michigan artists end up playing at. There's a pretty strong connection to that venue.
Okay.
So we're starting in Chicago, playing some house concerts as well as the venue, and making our way out east and ending up in New York at this club.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, if there's any of you folks that are going to be in New York or have friends there, send them our way.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been able to make a successful living as an independent musician. What advice do you have for those who are looking to pursue that same goal?
Well, I would say, you know, if you're not really motivated to put a lot of time and effort in, for not always a lot of money in return, then you should definitely look for something else to do. That sounds pretty bleak. It's not really that bad, but I think you've got to be really diligent. You have to, and that's something that I'm saying that, but I struggle with it as well. So it's something I'm constantly kind of working on. But I think having a nice website, having nice material, just spring into doing things the right way, so that you look professional to complement the sound. And just practice, you know.
Now, are you still interested in getting picked up by a major label, or are you happy to, you know, keep your independence and control? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't have any aspirations to be, you know, household name or on MTV or anything. I just want to be a musician, be able to make a living on it. I want to write songs that are really good. I want to find my niche with the people who like my kind of music.
Right.
I can't imagine what I would do if a major label had interested me. I'm not going to say I wouldn't take it up, but it's not really something I'm looking for at this point.
Well, there's definitely more opportunities than were available before because, I mean, with the internet in general, with social media, you're able to connect with an audience that you wouldn't have been able to connect with before.
Definitely.
So I think that's really a positive for independent musicians.
Yeah, definitely. And I am signed with an indie label.
Okay.
That does, it definitely works a lot differently than a major label, but these guys work really hard, and they have a lot of opportunities for their artists. So it's been a pretty good relationship so far.
Now, if folks want to pick up your music, find out more about you, where should they go?
If they're local, they can pick a CD up from me at any of my shows. Also, Schuller Books and Music, all of their locations carry my discs, as well as Vertigo Music. But if they're not local or if they don't want to go to the store, they can go to CarissaWilson.com. And it is Carissa. I answer to Carissa, but I really like Carissa a lot better.
Okay.
So CarissaWilson.com.
Okay.
Or else it's available on iTunes and through CD Baby, but they can get to that right through the website.
And Robica, if folks are interested in your music, where can they go?
Right now I'm streaming on Reverb Nation and SoundCloud, and hopefully working with Carissa some more, we'll have something available so that people can pick it up and take it with them.
Awesome. And you also teach guitar, violin, voice. Is the website the best way for folks to connect with you on that as well?
Yeah, definitely. Send me a note. You can just hit email me, or you can email me at Carissa@CarissaWilson.com.
Okay.
And, you know, I do, like I said, I give instruction here in Grand Rapids as well as along the lakeshore. So,
this is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we've been chatting with singer, songwriter, musician Carissa Wilson. Thanks for joining us.